أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ما بعد. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the universe, our creator, our sustainer, our nourisher, our protector. And we begin by sending peace and salutations upon his beloved messenger, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now, brothers and sisters, I hope that you are all doing well. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you and your loved ones in his protection. Today is Friday, of course, a blessed day, the most blessed day of the week, and a beautiful day today here as well, mashallah. But it is also Friday the 13th. Now, in Western superstition, Friday the 13th is considered to be an unlucky day. So much so that according to the Stress Management Center and Phobia Institute, yes, there's such a thing, about $800 million are lost every Friday the 13th in the US because of people's refusal to travel or to make major purchases or to conduct business on this day. Now, of course, these are numbers from before the pandemic. And it is estimated that there are 17 to 21 million people there who are affected by fear on this day. So we're talking about a large number of people within the population, and probably the same in Canada as well, who have a certain, or rather considerable amount of fear with regards to this date. There are of course many other instances of superstition as well that we hear about here in Western countries and Western culture, but it's not limited to Western culture. For example, the black cat being seen as a symbol of bad luck. So if you're walking and a black cat passes your path, so that is believed to be or seen as an omen of misfortune and death. And not limited to Western countries, found in other places around the world as well. Knocking on wood is another tradition. You may have heard of that. You know, somebody says something, they're planning to do something good, or they're hoping for something, and they're aiming for something, it's a knock on wood. Right, so literally touching or tapping or knocking on wood, even stating that they intend to do so, to avoid tempting fate after making a favorable observation or a boast or a declaration, instead of, for example, saying inshallah or mashallah, crossing fingers, right, in a person's hand, right, crossing fingers is a gesture that is also commonly used to wish for luck. Now, when it comes to the number 13, we say also that in certain cultures, including Western culture, 13 is an unlucky number. So if you go into a building and there's there's an elevator, there's no 13th floor. I mean, technically the 13th floor is still the 13th floor when you count from the bottom up, but the number 13 is not there to number the floor. So the 13th floor is actually called the 14th floor. But that is also becoming a problem because numbers ending with four are considered to be unlucky in Chinese culture. So as we have increasing diversity, you may find that there are buildings that don't have a 13th floor or a 14th floor, at least labeled as such. And, these type of different types of superstitions, of course, like I mentioned, are found in nearly every culture. And sometimes they're even linked to Islam incorrectly, right? Belief that some sort of act or practice can cause goodness or can cause harm. Some, may be linked to time, others to places or rituals, or the saying of certain words. So for example, I was reading in one place that there is this superstition that if a woman were to marry in the month of Shawwal, in the Islamic month of Shawwal, then she's not gonna get along with her husband and he's not gonna love her, as an example. Or similarly, the day of Wednesday, the month of Safar, the Islamic month of Safar being seen as a source of bad luck. Or that, if you hear a voice of an owl, that's considered to be a bad omen. Or if you have twitching in your left eye, that is a sign of, you know, something bad about to happen. Nowadays, even the year 2020 has become a type of symbol of misfortune as well, of course, because of the pandemic and other things that have happened to occur in this year. Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that the Arabs used to curse time when disasters such as death or old age or the loss of money and so on happened. What did they used to do? They used to curse time. And they would say that woe to time, ya khaybat al-dahr, and other phrases that would be, you know, cursing or inveighing against time. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, la tasubbu al-dahr fa inna Allah huwa al-dahr, that do not inveigh against time, for Allah is time. Meaning, do not inveigh against the one who brings about those disasters, for that will be directed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for He is the one. For it is Allah that is the one who causes them to happen. Time, referred to as ad-dahr, you know, means az-zaman, time which cannot do anything in and of itself. For it is just one of the things that have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the meaning is that if you are cursing time, seeing it as a cause of misfortune, you are indirectly cursing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, li'ayadu billah, because time and the misfortunes are controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you think it's because of time, in fact Allah is that time, meaning that cause that you are considering to be the source of these misfortunes. So it should be very clear to us as Muslims that the only ones beliefs regarding harm and good happening are either because of one of these two things. So first, things that are physically known to be, or that are known to be physically a source of harm or benefit through the system of cause and effect, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So for us as Muslims, the only things that can, that, or the only sources or means of having harm done to us and good happening to us are either through those things that are known to be physically a source of harm or benefit through the system of cause and effect with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because even those things, the cause and effect that we see happen, is not in and of itself due to, you know, the strength or the will of those objects or those things. Right? It is through the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, you know, a vehicle, a car, a truck hurting someone. The importance of wearing seatbelts as an example, or the effect of smoking on a person, the harmful effects of smoking, or the benefits of medicine, the harms of diseases, and so on and so forth. So all of these things are known to be physically a source of harm or benefit through the system of cause and effect with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is seen for us as Muslims, this is one source or one way that there could be harm or benefit coming to us. And secondly, things that are specifically mentioned by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam as being beneficial or harmful. So for example, the benefits of drinking Zamzam water, as an example. Prophet ﷺ telling us that it is for whatever is intended, right? So whatever intention you have when drinking Zamzam and you make that dua and that you have that wish, inshallah, it will benefit through the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in achieving that goal or that desire. Similarly, the benefits of eating ajwa dates in the morning. Right? Prophet ﷺ telling us, the person who eats 7 ajwa dates will be protected from magic, as an example. Or the effects of the evil eye. Right? So these are not for believers, for us. These are not just baseless superstitions. These are things that the Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have told us. And therefore, this is something that we do believe in. And all of these also, of course, are by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So the point is that whenever it comes to believing that we are going to be harmed or benefited through something or by something, it is going to be either from one of these two categories, and both of them are dependent always on the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, apart from these two categories, there is no other belief with regards to harm and good from anything. Apart from these two categories, there's no other belief with regards to harm or benefit coming from anything, whether it's an object or whether it's time or date or a sound or anything else. It was narrated from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, La adwa wa la tayara, that there is no adwa, which is the transmission of infectious disease, yani understood as without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that a disease, a virus, a bacteria does not decide in and of itself who to attack, who to go to, who should be infected, and what effect it should have. Right? This is something that is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather that bacteria or that virus is a means. It is simply a means, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is controlling it. So there is no transmission of infectious disease without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La adwa wa la tayara. And there is no tayara, that is superstitious belief in bird omens. And I'll explain this a little bit more. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa yu'jibuni al-fa'l, that I like optimism. Al-fa'l al-salih. And it was asked, what is optimism? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa al-fa'l al-salih al-kalimatu al-hasana, that it is a good word. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it very, very clear. And here the basic meaning of tatayyur is pessimism, meaning taking something as a sign of something bad to happen. But reference is made to birds, to tayr, because most of the superstitious beliefs that were held by the Arabs had to do with birds. So it was connected with them, right? So when the Prophet ﷺ addressed this phenomena of taking bad omens from something, he used a terminology which was familiar to the Arabs, especially at that time, and they would heavily lean towards birds when it came to acquiring omens. So that's why the word of tatayyur or tayara is used. Now, it was also narrated that the Prophet by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that at-tayaratu shirk, that tayara, superstitious belief in omens, is shirk, is a form of associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which of course is forbidden. Now, tayara, the word tayara is derived from tatayyur, referring to superstitions about anything, whether it is something that is seen or heard or a time or a place. So the literal meaning of it, right, or the contextual meaning could be understood to be referring to superstition that has to do with birds, but in reality it is referring to all types of superstitions. Now, Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, he said in his commentary on Sahih Muslim that tatayyur, belief in bad omens, is pessimism and is based on something disliked, be it a word or an action or something that is seen. And what did they used to do? They used to startle birds. They used to startle birds to make them move. So, you know, you go to the park or you see a group of birds or bees sitting somewhere, pigeons, right? And kids like to do this sometimes. They like to go chase after them, you know, make them scared. So they fly away. What did they used to do? They used to startle birds to make them move. If they went to the right, they would regard that as a good omen, and they would go ahead with their journeys or other plans. But if they went to the left, they would cancel their journeys and their plans and regard that as a bad omen. So it would often prevent them from doing things that were in their interests. And Islam canceled out all of that and forbade it and said that it had no effect, whether good or bad. So, you know, using such means, arrows were something that was used as well. Divination was practiced in pre-Islamic Arabia, which involved the casting of arrows, right? And it was almost like, you know, doing a draw. Right, so the arrows would have messages like, you know, do, and another would say do not do, and the third was left blank, and a person would then choose one of the arrows without knowing the instructions that it bore. If the lot showed do, he would embark on that matter, with the matter in question. If it showed do not do, then he would not do that, and he would believe that it was to be harmful. Right, so this belief part is very important. Right, it's one thing to just say, you know, to do rock, paper, scissors because, you know, you're not able to make a decision and you're just trying to figure out, you know, which one to choose. Right, but to believe that, you know, doing the draw or going through some sort of process is actually going to decide, right, or should be a means of deciding and a means of determining which one is going to be beneficial or which one's going to be harmful, this is something which is prohibited. So if the lot was blank, he would repeat the process until it showed one of the other two. And by such means, he would seek to know the unseen, and that is prohibited. right? So try to use methods of chance to try to figure out what to do and to believe that they are actually true in predicting what is harmful and what is beneficial. This is something which has been prohibited. Once a man called Muawiyah ibn Hakam said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami radiyallahu anhu qala, qultu ya Rasulullah, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Rasulullah, I have only recently abandoned ignorant beliefs. That I have recently abandoned ignorant beliefs, and now Allah has favored us with Islam. Some of our people visit fortune tellers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَلَا تَأْتُ الْكُهَّانِ. So he said, do not visit them. And then he added that some of us associate bad omens with certain things. كُنَّا نَتَطَيَّرُ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, ذَذَاكَ شَيْءٌ يَجِدُهُ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي نَفْسِهِ فَلَا يَصُدَّنَّكُمْ. That this is something that people may occasionally entertain or find themselves doing, let them not be deterred from their purpose. So, if you find yourself leaning towards some sort of bad signal, some bad omen about some decision or something that you're about to do, let that not be a deterrent in what you are deciding to do. Now, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the prohibition of omens seriously. Ikrama mentions that they were once sitting with Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a bird flew over their heads and screeched. So a man exclaimed, "Good, good." And Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma corrected him, saying, "There is neither good nor evil in it." Right? So such symbols, such signs, they don't mean anything. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that whoever lets tiyara, such omens, bad omens, stop him from doing something is guilty of shirk. And the companion said that, what is the kafara for that? What is the expiation for that? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to say, Allahumma la khayra illa khayruk, wa la tayra illa tayruk. That, wa la ilaha ghayruk. That, oh Allah, there is no good except your good. Allahumma la khayra illa khayruk. No birds, meaning no omens except from you. Wa la tayra illa tayruk. And, وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ, there is no God besides you. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma also said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what would he do? He would seek good omens and not evil ones. What would he do? كَانَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wasallam يَتَفَاءَلْ وَلَا يَتَطَيَّرْ. That he would seek good omens and not evil ones, and وَيُعْجِبُهُ الْإِسْمَ الْحَسَنِ, and he would be pleased by a good name. Now, Imam Ibn Hajar, rahmatullahi alayhi, he quotes in his book, Fathul Bari, from Ibn Battal, that he said that Allah has created in the nature of human beings the inclination to the good works. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created what? Inside the human being, inclination towards good works and the feeling of satisfaction with them. In the same manner that he made them feel pleasure when seeing scenery and seeing clear water. Right, so when you see nice scenery, you see me, those who follow me on Facebook, I'm posted pictures of sunsets, right? Very nice, subhanAllah, reminds us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's very beautiful. So when we see scenery, right, nice scenery, you see clear water, it gives you a sense of peace and satisfaction. So he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in the nature of human beings the inclination to the good words and the feeling of satisfaction with them in the same manner that he has made them feel pleasure when seeing scenery and clear water. So Anas radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be pleased to hear, for example, O Rashid, meaning the one who follows the right path, or O Nujayh, the right when he went out for his necessity. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was out and about doing his business, doing whatever he needed to do. If he heard, good words, good names being called, being said, then that is something that would give him pleasure, it would make him happy. So seeking good omens. Okay, so now we find, okay, first we were saying that there's no omens, we don't believe in anything apart from what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that can cause harm or benefit, or the things which physically are known to cause benefit or harm. with the permission of Allah. So what is this referring to? So there can be some confusion regarding this. So let's be clear. That seeking good omens means seeking good signs that put one at ease after one has made a decision to do something. Okay, after you have decided to do something, then you hear something good, or you're going about your way and you hear some good messages, some good words, something that gives you pleasure, gives you satisfaction, gives you confidence, then that is fine and that is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But it is not being used to help decide whether something is good or bad. Okay, so this acceptance of good omens is not as a means to make decisions or judgments about what is good and what is bad. That, oh, you know, I'm undecided about this issue. Should I do it? Should I not? Should I buy this car? Or should I marry this person or buy this house or get this job or whatever? You know, some decision, and then you're just like undecided, and then you go outside and you hear some good words, and you say, okay, yes, it must be, you know, I'm going to decide to do it, because, you know, so that's not the point here. The point is that after you have made the decision and then you hear good words, you hear something good that is pleasing, it gives you confidence, it makes you good, it feel good, it gives you pleasure, then that is good and there's nothing wrong with that. But the decision is not to be based on such factors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Whatever Allah grants to people of mercy, none can withhold it. And whatever He withholds, none can release it thereafter. And He is the exalted in might and the wise. So all goodness is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can withhold it if Allah has decided to give it. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withholds, nothing can help in releasing it. Nobody can force Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change, you know, destiny, change fortune. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Say, never will be struck except by what Allah has decreed for us. Right? This is the cornerstone of the belief and the yaqeen, the conviction of a believer, that never will we be struck except by what Allah has decreed for us. And huwa maulana, He is our protector. Wa alallahi falyatawakkalil mu'minun, and upon Allah let the believers rely. And subhanallah, you know, I often think about the struggles that many people live through during life. And a lot of these struggles, you know, are mental struggles, right? They have to do with things that are happening to us, and why are they happening to us, and decisions that we have made, and the consequences of our decisions, and so on and so forth. And a person can become a victim of so much confusion. A person can become a victim of so much confusion in life, right? About the misfortunes, about incidents, about, you know, things that happen to them, perhaps bad things that happen to them. And what it comes down to many times is having strength in our belief, and having the correct belief, and having conviction in our belief regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His attributes. And a person who has clarity with regards to this, a person who is clear on these things, will not become a victim to such type of confusion, right? Because they understand the role that they have to play, they understand the role that other factors play, and they understand the supreme role of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their lives and deciding what they get and what they do not get. So they are not going to be living in regret, as an example, for something that they wanted to achieve but they were not able to achieve. Because they understand that despite their best efforts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided that they were not to have it for whatever reason, and that there was some khair in that, right? As an example. So having correct beliefs and having conviction with regards to those beliefs and those teachings can be extremely beneficial for us in multiple ways, even ways that we cannot imagine, as we go through the course of our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us always. Now, most of us have probably come across, you know, various superstitions from our cultures and the people around us. Of course, it's fine to know about it, but we do not act according to it. Right? Do not act according to it, because it relates to your iman. It relates to your faith. So firstly, my brothers and sisters, let us reinforce our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like I said, that nothing happens without the permission of Allah, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true protector. And all of the means that we take to try to help ourselves, to try to help others, to try to protect ourselves, these are all means. These are all means, they are not the ultimate, right? So when it comes to taking medication, as an example, when it comes to wearing a mask, when it comes to taking vaccines, when it comes to any other protective measure that we take, always remind yourselves, let us always remind ourselves that these are just means, and whatever benefit we get from them is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put that benefit in them. And if it was not for Allah's putting benefit in them, they would not be able to help us in the least bit. So always reinforce your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, know that we are encouraged to take physical means that are proven to be the part of, you know, the system of cause and effect by Allah's permission. So yes, it is. I mean, we are not people who, you know, or let me rephrase that. We are people who are taught to be balanced and moderate in our approaches, right? So we are never taught in our deen that we are not to take means, and that, you know, we are just to sit and do nothing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of us. This is not what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. This is not what we learned from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, right? What we learn is that yes, we are encouraged to take physical means that are proven to be part of cause and effect with Allah's permission, and we are also encouraged to take spiritual and physical means that are taught to us by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Sometimes we end up putting a lot of faith, or, you know, a lot of importance towards the things that we are physically known to have an effect, and somewhat disregard, or, you know, put on the back burner the spiritual means, right? So we should be using both of them, right? And, you know, perhaps even putting more faith in the spiritual, although we do the physical as well, right? So, for example, the du'as that the Prophet ﷺ has taught us for protection, right? And the various, you know, for example, Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama' wa huwa as-sami'u al-'alim, 3 times in the morning, 3 times in the evening. No harm will come to a person who recites the du'a the Prophet ﷺ has told us, as an example. And there are others as well, other ways, spiritual and physical, which have been taught by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we take all of those. Now, after you have done your due diligence and you have taken your precautions, which we're supposed to do, and you've taken preparations regarding, you know, physical means and taking spiritual means, then we put our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then nothing is going to impact your destiny. Nothing is going to impact the outcome except, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And know that all superstitions and bad omens should be meaningless to us. You know, don't believe in them and don't let it be a factor in your decision making. And I know, like, when we say this, I was even thinking, like, when I'm preparing my notes, I'm like, okay, like, this is something that everyone knows. Like, we all know this, right? But the question, my brothers and sisters, is not about knowing, right? It's about how we act upon it, or how much it is actually a part of our decision-making, right? Because when it comes time, right, to actually execute, right, when it comes time to actually do something, right, then we might find that even subconsciously, these things are playing a factor, you know, in our decisions. They are a factor, you know, at the back of our minds. And finally, if you are doing something and you hear or see something that gives you greater confidence without seeking it, then you can take it as a good sign. It is, you know, a glad tiding or a good sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah azza wa jalla to purify our belief and our reliance in Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from all types of evils and harms, whether they are physical or spiritual or mental. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. This week, my brothers and sisters, we have had some very sad news, of course. Our dear elder, Haji Abdul Sattar Abu Kar, rahmatullahi alayhi, passed away early Saturday morning. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You know, it was always a pleasure to have him with us, to be in his company. Whenever he would pray Salatul Jum'ah with us, you know, he would give the adhan, Eid Salah, he would be giving, you know, reading the takbirat. And the same at a number of other masajid in the city. Our other news as well, our dear elder, brother Ahmed Al-Shanawani has entered the sad news of his nephew passing away at the age of 44 years in Egypt, leaving behind a wife and children, the youngest daughter being 3 years old. So please make dua for him and his family as well. Our sister Tabassum's mother passed away in Pakistan as well. So let us make dua for them and for all of those who have passed away. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم وعافهم واعف عنهم وأكرم نزلهم ووسع مدخلهم واغسلهم بالماء والثلج والبرد ونقهم من الخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس وأبدلهم دارا خيرا من دارهم وأهلا خيرا من أهلهم وأدخلهم الجنة وعذهم من عذاب القبر ومن عذاب النار اللهم اجعل قبورهم روضة من رياض الجنة يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم الحقهم بالرفيق الأعلى يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم ارفع درجاتهم في المهديين واغفر لنا ولهم يا رحمن يا الله وافسح لهم في قبرهم يا رحم الراحمين Oh Allah, please grant beautiful patience to the loved ones, sabran jameel to the loved ones at this difficult time. Oh Allah, make them a means for continued reward for those who have returned to you. Ya Allah, please heal the grief that is in their hearts, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you are the only one who can heal the hearts. Oh Allah, only you know the true grief that is inside the hearts. Oh Allah, only you are the one who can truly heal that grief. Oh Allah, please heal their hearts, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please forgive us for our minor and major sins, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, please purify our hearts of all types of disbeliefs and incorrect beliefs and hypocrisy and unlawful desires, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please fill our hearts with the light of Iman. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with the light of Iman. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with the strength of Taqwa. Oh Allah, please fill our hearts with love for you and your book and your beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, please purify our minds of all types of evil thoughts. Oh Allah, please make our minds sound, our bodies and our souls, our minds true believers in every way, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please envelop all of us in your unseen protection, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Oh Allah, please cure all of those who are ill and who are facing hardships and struggles with regards to their health, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, our elder sister living in pain and weakness and decline on a daily basis. Oh Allah, please make this moment easy for her. Oh Allah, our brothers and sisters who are living with long-term pain and injuries here locally, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, our elder pioneers who are ill, dealing with cancer and other illnesses, Brother Mumtaz and others as well. Oh Allah, our sister and her three children and our brother and his family and many others who are suffering from COVID-19. Oh Allah, all of those who are ill, who are injured. Oh Allah, you are the cure and healer. Oh Allah, please grant them all a speedy and complete recovery, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allahumma Rabban Nas, Adhib al-Bas, Shfihim wa Anta Shafi, لا شفاء إلا شفاءك شفاء لا يغادر سقما اللهم اشفهم شفاء عاجلا كاملا من كل داء Oh Allah, please grant relief to all of our brothers and sisters, to all of our brothers and sisters in faith and humanity who are experiencing distress and anxiety and grief and depression and any other types of suffering. Oh Allah, please replace it with happiness and ease and goodness, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please remove the clouds and hardships from their lives, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please grant them strength to succeed through all these trials and tribulations, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah wal-mu'afat al-da'imata fi al-deen wal-dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmah innaka antal wahhab. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا حلالا واسعا ولسانا ذاكرا وقلبا خاشعا ويقينا صادقا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم ارفع عنا هذا الوباء وهذا البلاء يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم احفظنا من بين أيدينا ومن خلفنا يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعل لنا من كل ضيق مخرجا ومن كل هم فرجا ومن كل بلاء عافية اللهم آمن روعاتنا واستر عوراتنا واصلح نياتنا وذرياتنا واحسن خواتمنا اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغنا حبك اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة إنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن والعجز والكسل والبخل والجبن وضلع الدين وغلبة الرجال اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم حرر المسجونين المظلومين خصوصا في بلاد المسلمين يا رب العالمين اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين ووحد صفوفهم وأصلح قادتهم واجمع كلمتهم على الحق يا رب العالمين اللهم حرر فلسطين والمسجد الأقصى يا أرحم الراحمين يا رب العالمين اللهم احفظ وانصر أخواننا وأخواتنا في كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر المستضعفين في كل مكان وحقق لهم النصر والفتح المبين يا رب العالمين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين جزاكم الله خيرا my brothers and sisters. Those who are at home, please offer four rakaz of Dhuhr prayer. For those who are registered for Friday prayer, please come at your allotted time.